God has a unique way in a pastor, a preacher's life of changing things up. I had a sermon that I was going to preach this morning and in continuing in our series in 2 Thessalonians, but God's changed that. And I want to share something with you a little bit different here today. I want to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts with me, please. Acts, the second chapter, is where we'll look this morning. And hopefully you've read your bulletins. I pray you've looked, had an opportunity to look at those things that are going on in and around the church here. And hopefully you've taken time to see that here in February we're going to begin a new series that will actually run through April. And you'll be hearing more about that. But it's kind of just a snapshot there in the bulletin today about what will be going on there. And really the title of this series is Going Deeper. And meaning going deeper into the Word of God and getting a deeper understanding of God and His workings and His commandments to us as believers. Now, before you and I can ever get to the point of having or longing for a deeper understanding of the things of God, you and I have first got to have a relationship with God. If we don't have that today, that relationship with Jesus Christ, His Son, who intercedes for us to the Heavenly Father for all things in our life, then today we're really going to fall short, especially even now, sitting right here in this service this morning. But I want to share with you today just some things found here in God's Word. I remember in my life, July the 6th, 1986, my life was changed forever on that day as I knelt beside a preacher's couch in his den. Never forget that couch. That was the ugliest couch I have ever seen in my life. It was the darkest green. And I knelt down beside that in what is known as shag carpet. Does anybody remember shag carpet? I mean, just, you know, that deep problem. Anyway, I remember kneeling down beside that, and I remember not the preacher, but his wife, Rhonda, leading me in what is known as the sinner's prayer. And right there, about 4 o'clock on July the 6th, Jesus saved me. And my life was changed forever in that moment. And that day, my life was changed forever. Now, since that day, I have not been a perfect person by no means. Any believer will tell you that it is a daily struggle. It is a daily fight. Internally, the flesh versus the spirit, good versus evil, the devil against God, however you want to phrase it, it's a fight every day to live the Christian life. It's hard. Don't let anybody tell you that being a Christian's easy, because if they're saying that, I'm just going to step out on a limb here. Odds are they ain't one. It's tough. But you know what? In the years that I've been a believer, praise be unto God, I have received and seen more blessings in my life and the life of my family than I ever dreamed of prior to becoming a believer. So I want to ask you this morning, sitting right here. The last few weeks we've been talking about 2 Thessalonians and how we ought to live the Christian life. Last week we talked about how we ought to follow the commands found in God's Word. Paul lays those out there for me. But let me ask you this. At the very bottom of all of that, are you a believer? Well, are you? Only you know that for sure. Only you know today if your relationship, if you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, only you know that. Now, you can say, and I could ask you, do you know Jesus? Sure, I know Jesus. But in your heart of hearts today, only you know if you truly have that relationship. if He is truly Lord of your life, if the sin in your life has truly been forgiven. See, here in Acts chapter 2, and beginning at about verse 14, we find Peter's sermon. If you have subtitles, your Bible may read something along those lines. The day of Pentecost has taken place, and now Peter stands up and Peter begins to preach. And this is every preacher's dream, to be able to preach a sermon like this. And as you'll read on in here later, that there was some 3,000 people got saved. Man! That's stuff only Billy Graham does. Peter does that, and that's a pastor's dream. But I want you to listen to what's said here. And in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, if you're there, say amen. Now, God's Word tells us this. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judah, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day." Peter's saying, these people are saying that surely these people are drunk, the way they're acting, and the speaking in tongues, the speaking of different languages from around the world. And surely these people are drunk. Peter says, no, they're not. He says, but this is what we spoke of through the prophet Joel. "And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth my spirit, and all they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I believe this with all my heart. I am no eschatology expert, by no means, don't claim to be. I am no scholar, biblical scholar, by no means. I am no theologian per se. I am a student of the Word of God, but I do not classify myself as a theologian. But I do believe this, that the coming of Jesus Christ is close at hand. Now, I don't know exactly when that may be. I really don't. But I believe more so now than in the history of mankind, we are closer to that than ever before. And the Bible tells us clearly right here, it says this, notice in verse 21 again, "And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is for every person sitting in this room here today. Notice it does not say that if you were a drunk, you cannot be so. If you were a drug addict, you cannot be so. If you were an adulterer, an idolater, it does not say any of that. If you were a paganistic heathen, you cannot be a believer. It don't say that. It says all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved today. Oh, praise His name today. Listen to this. The Bible goes on. Peter's still speaking here. In verse 22, he says, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death." Oh, I know they love that. "You are the one that nailed him to the cross," is what Peter's saying. Can I share this with you this morning? Not only were those people that were sitting there before Peter that morning, but so did you. And you. And you. And all of you. And me as well. We nailed him to that cross with our sin today. But you know what he did today? Jesus could, I don't ask me to explain this because I can't understand this. With all the love and all the dedication, everything, Jesus did it for you and you and me when all he had to do was speak the word. And he'd have got off that cross and walked away and said, I don't want to have anything to do with it, but he died for you. And he died for me today. The Bible goes on and tells us this. It says in verse 24, and God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was possible for him to be held in its power. He gave us victory over death, the Bible tells us in verse 25. For David says of him, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in hope, because thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow the Holy One to undergo decay. He today, if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if I may paraphrase what David is saying here, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, you will not see hell. Amen. Hey, somebody say amen. Right? Praise God that we will not see hell. But the Bible goes on and tells us this. Verse 28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God would had sworn to him an oath to seat one of his descendants upon this, his throne, he looked ahead and spoke to the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we all are witness. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. I love it. Peter, in his first sermon, says this to the people that stand there before him. Christ today was crucified, by the way you did it. He was crucified for you. He died for your sin. He was placed in a grave, and he was raised from that grave that you would have victory today in your life. And you know what? Some 2,000 years later now, that same old message, the one that Peter preached that day right there, the sermon that he preached, as simple as it was, when he preached that, and we'll see in just a moment, it pierced the hearts of the people sitting before him. Guess what? That word, as is alive and as true as it was in that day, it is as alive and true right here this morning. It will change your life forever today. It will change you from what you are to what God wants you to be. It will take you off the road to hell itself and place you on the road to heaven itself. It will take you, and you will have the forgiveness of the sin in your life. No matter what that sin is, the Bible says that God will forgive you today. No matter what it is, there's only one sin, the Bible says, that cannot be forgiven, and that is a total denial of Him as God Himself. It doesn't matter what you've said. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad a person you've been, how bad you have treated others. The Bible says that today He died so that you can be forgiven of all of that today. The slate will be made clean today. Oh, it's like starting over today. It's like having a brand new life, if you will. It is like having a new life in Jesus Christ. The question is for you today. What you going to do with it? I've literally seen this 17 years preaching the Word of God. Don't understand it. To this day, standing before all of you, still don't understand this. Preach the Word of God and preach the gospel, if you will, just like you've been shared here in just a moment or this morning with you. Preach the Word of God and literally sit and watch people and see them out in the audience and see the Spirit of God through His convicting Spirit get a hold of somebody. And I mean they are so much under conviction. And what I mean by that is that the Spirit of God is revealing to them that they are a sinner and that they need Jesus in their life, to the point I've literally seen men, women, and children in the audience, not because of what I've said, but because what the Spirit of God is doing. I have literally seen people with tears streaming down their face. And an invitation be given at the end of a sermon and a service, and where we invite people to come to Jesus. It ain't about coming to a preacher. It's not about coming here to get on your knees. It's about coming to Jesus. And invite people to do that, and those same people with tears just streaming down their face, knowing they need Christ in their life that day, knowing without Christ in their life that day that they're going to die and go straight to hell, and knowing that day that there's sin in their life that God's not approving of and that He is very displeased with them, knowing that, those people get up and walk right out the door. And for the life of me, I cannot figure that out. When here today, Jesus in this moment, it's not about these other people sitting in this room with you. I got to be honest with you, and I'm just being frank here today. They can't save your soul. I'm not trying to be belligerent or ugly here. It don't matter what they think either. What matters is the condition of your soul today in God's eyes. Now that's what matters. And I'm here to tell you this morning, listen to me. If it takes walking in front of about 200, 300 people like sitting in this audience here today, if that's what it takes to save your soul, I'm here to tell you today, you need to be running down the aisle right now. You know why? Because God has laid before you the free gift of salvation only through His Son, Jesus Christ, this morning. Now the question is right now, what are you going to do with that? Because I am a firm believer of this. As a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ standing up here, the only thing I had to do this morning, listen, was just read that. I believe that's how powerful this word is. All I had to do was read that, not make one comment on that. Say, all right, Brother Allen, you come up here. Miss Nancy, if you would, lead us. Lead us in worship. Lead us in an invitation hymn here. Brother Allen, you come on up here right now. I believe I could have done, just read that, said that. These people, and God would have spoken to hearts. And you know what? God has, and God is speaking to hearts right now in this room. I don't know who you are. I don't know. I really don't. I don't know if you're a man, woman. I don't know if you're a teenager, young adult. I don't know. I'm here to tell you, God don't just do this. Hey, I had totally something else going to speak. how you ought to, and I ought to follow the ethics found in God's Word. And I'm here to tell you, we need to hear something about ethics in this day and age in which we live in. But today, somebody right now, you may not be verbally saying it, but you are just like what I'm about to read right here. Look with me now in verse 37. You are just like these people right here. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" You may not, whoever you are, you may not be verbally saying that right now, but there's somebody in this room right now. You're saying that in your mind and in your heart right now. I believe that with all my heart this morning. What do I do? What do I say? Does it take joining a church? If you're banking on your salvation, that your membership, you got your name on the roll of a membership of a church somewhere, and that's what you're basing your salvation on, listen this morning to me. Hear this well. If that's what you're basing your salvation on, you are not saved. If you are basing your salvation this morning on the fact you got your name on the roll of a Sunday school class somewhere, and you're faithful to come to Sunday school, whether it's at this church or another one somewhere else, and you're basing your salvation on the fact that I check my name off on the Sunday school roll every Sunday morning, I'm here to tell you, you are not saved today. If you're just basing your salvation on the fact that you show up at church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, you're faithful to all of those things, and I'm going to heaven because of that, you are not saved today. If you say, well, you know, Mom and Daddy, they was faithful to church. They drug me to church every Sunday. I'm here to tell you, they drug me to church. And because Mom and Daddy drug me to church, now I'm dragging myself to church every Sunday, every Wednesday night. And because I go to church, that's the reason I'm going to heaven. I'm here to tell you today, you are not saved today. If, listen closely, church, if you are basing your salvation day on the fact that you've been dunked in a tank of water like that, or in a river, in a creek, or a pond, or a pool, as we used to do right here before this building was finished, if you are basing your salvation on the fact you've been dunked underwater somewhere, and you're saying, because I'm baptized, I'm saved, you are not saved today. Man, I didn't come down here to hear this today. Listen. The only thing that will save you and will save me is a confession of sin in our life. A confession verbally that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He was raised from the dead to give us victory over that sin. Ask Him to come into our life and to forgive us of our sin and to be Lord of our life. If you've done that, you are saved. That not according to what a preacher boy said, but according to what the Word of God says today. Let me ask you this morning. You're sitting in this room right here today, and your heart is pierced. Not because what a preacher boy said. If you're basing your salvation on, I come down here and listen to Brother Mike every Sunday, you got trouble. But if you're sitting here this morning, your heart's pierced, and you're asking, what shall I do now? Very simple. Christ died for you that all your sins may be forgiven. Oh, this is what you do. Listen. Here in just a few moments, we're going to do, and Brother Alan Fowler will be here and he'll lead us in just a moment. And we're going to sing a song called A Hymn of Invitation. And I'm here to tell you, listen to me. It is the most important part of the service. This is why. It is at that very moment that souls hang in the balance. So you're sitting in this room here and you say, well, I'm a believer today. I know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. I live my life. I strive to live for Him each and every day. Praise God. Then this is what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you, as soon as we bow and start praying here in just a moment, I want to ask you to start praying for somebody in this room. You may not know who they are, but I want you to pray for that person that today they give their life to Jesus Christ. Right here in this auditorium, right here today, that they turn it all over to Jesus. They quit running this life race by themselves and they start running it together with Jesus today. Just as these people did right here. See, because Peter looked at those people as soon as they asked that question and said, "What shall we do?" Notice what he says there in the next verse. He says, "And Peter said to them, repent. Pray today that people will repent in this service." Right? You say, "Well, you know what, preacher? Listen, I'm a believer. Honest to goodness, I prayed that prayer. I asked Jesus to come into my heart like you're talking about years ago. I did that. And I believe I'm saved today. Praise God. But you know, there's some things in my life today that I know God's not pleased with. Here in the last few months, weeks, days, whatever, God just hadn't left me alone about it. There's been things that's cropped up in my memory from years past. Let's just call it what it is, sin. There's been sin that's cropped up in my life, happened years ago, and I just can't get that off my heart and my mind. Listen to me. It is the Spirit of God dealing with your heart today and sharing with you and revealing to you the things in your life that you need to ask His forgiveness for today, so that you may live the life pleasing to Him. I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Believers, right now is the time to pray. Spirit of God speaking to your heart now, right now is the time to come. You don't have to wait until we start singing this morning. You don't have to wait till somebody starts playing. Wherever you're at, right now is your time. Come on. You just need to come to this altar, get on your knees and start praying right now. Say, "God, just forgive me today. God, you know what I'm, you know what my life's like. God, you see my life. It's a mess. God, you see what the life of myself is. You see how that's affected my family. God, you see what a mess I have made of all things." Right now, don't come to me. Come to Jesus today. Just get on your knees. You may not physically be able to get on your knees, but you can get right here on these front chairs and just sit right there. And you begin to cry out to God right there. "God, help me today. Ask for the forgiveness. Repent of that sin and ask for His forgiveness today." Wherever you're at in this room, you come on right now. You come to wherever you're at. You come to whoever you want to have someone pray with you. You come on right now. We'll be more than happy to do that. For goodness sakes, don't wait. The Spirit of God speaking to your heart right now. Come on. Wherever you're at in this room, the altar's open right now. There's a minister down front. I'll be more than happy to pray with you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Ain't nobody looking around right now. Just me. Come on. Say, "Preacher, I need Jesus in my life, but I'm not really sure how to pray that prayer you're talking about. I'm not really sure about how to do that." Come on. We'll show you. We'll lead you through it. We really will. Now, we can't save you. Can't do it. But today, come to the one that can. His name's Jesus. Come on. Oh, your heart's pierced this morning. Come on. Come on. Say, "Preacher, you know what? I've been part of this church for years now, 40, 50 years. People see me get on my knees, they're going to wonder, you know, oh, my gracious. Something's up with that person's life." Well, yeah, there is something up with your life. You're being faithful to the call of God this morning in this place. Something possibly somebody else that's been part of this fellowship for years needs to do. Come on right now. Here in just a moment, we're going to sing "Just As I Am." See, that's the way you got to come, just the way you are. You can't say, "Well, once I get my life right, then I'll come down there. Once I get things right with God, once I do things right, then I'll come." Let me tell you what, if you're waiting on that to happen in your life, you will never come. Today, there's things in your life, friend, that you cannot fix. You can't do it. Come just like you are. bring all of the sin, bring all of the heartache, bring all of the trouble, bring all of the depression, bring all the anxiety, all of the worry. Bring it all with you, just the way you are today. And Father God, we do thank you. And I pray now for whoever that individual may be in this room today. God, is there people now, even praying right now? Praying here at the altar, praying in their seats. God, there may be somebody else that needs to be here. They know who they are. God, they see what's in their life. You've revealed that to them this morning. And Father, right now, I just pray for them that God, you give them strength, power, and the ability to move right now. To come to Jesus. And God, this morning now, we will give you praise and glory for everything that we see happen, the things that we've seen happen. For it's in His holy name we pray. Amen.